image of the that we that was there, there was no forest in the background, and there's actually very little water in it. So did this person catch something? They caught a glimmer, and their mind was very much trying to get it to linguistically be right. So we call that a really good response, and could we have made that one a winner? Without the sailboat part, you can't. Because it's clearly a sailboat.
Right, it was. And but they, you know, I would give them, you know, good 6 points out of 10 for that try, because at least they got, you know, the symbol of a boat, regardless of it's the full outline of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But some people got really, you know, close numbers, got, you know, saw very similar like planets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably just to differentiate what sort of planet that was that they were seeing, whether it was Earth or the Moon or Pleiades or whatever.
Yeah, they were seeing what they needed to see at that moment. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of having to go through that, what do I call it, the dirty energy underwear. And then there's the information field. So once you've understood the dirty energy underwear environments there, and you don't have to deal with it on energy, you can get to the next layer, which is the information field, which is everything is out there in the uncollective, and then the collective mind's trying to reverse engineer the uncollective. That's our conscious subconscious. Mm-hmm. And we can tap into the doorway between the collective and uncollective consciousness and find a moment of silence to have vision without vision, internal knowingness.
Right, that inner vision that you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about internal knowingness, vision without vision, because we don't have words to describe what it is when you're experiencing something that is simulating vision but does not use these eyes and does not process in the motor cortex like the eyes either.
Right, so it's trusting that inner vision when you get that inner picture in your mind's eye. It's like when you're trying to visualize or doing a visualization. It's, you know, it's not, you're not doing it with your outer sense. You're doing it from an inner sense. And it's the same sort of thing that when you're focusing on something and you're trying to remote view, if a picture flashes up, you get that inner vision of a picture or a number. That's what you've got to trust.
Mm-hmm. You got to trust. And that's that precipice of trust I spoke about on the Super Bowl show. You've got a big, wide open chasm. And the only thing that's there is your belief that you cannot go over that chasm without being hurt. It's the trust of the self. The great adventurers and explorers looked at that chasm and figured out a way around or created a way through it.
Yeah, there's no really easy way of doing remote view other than just going in and getting into the practice of doing it and trust to see and just, you know, focusing in and honing in on those skills.
Mm-hmm. So some of the other skills that people exhibited were a little bit of emotional connection skills and as somebody said, a heart-shaped flower, a big person in love. So there's all sorts of things that some people might have been struggling for words. And think of that more of struggling for trust. Okay? So next week, this next Friday's show, we are going to have another remote view. But I would like people to remote view the envelope I'm going to do on next Friday's show. So you have a whole week to try, a whole week. And yes, you will only be able to enter them on the enter your thing on the live show, and we will determine from there how we're going to do this remote view. We are probably going to have a part of a show dedicated specifically to that, because I've had a lot of people that have been sending emails to me about wanting to take that skill to the next level, and if we dedicate 15 minutes to our shows each week. In 6 or 7 weeks from now, we can have a really powerful group of people that are in their knowingness and can begin to research things other than the score of a game, or the pictures in an envelope, where we can have an army of remote viewers descend upon an ancient place in an ancient time and intuit truth. We have that power. We just need some of the technical skills of self-trust.
Right, Andrew. I agree. And I think that's a wonderful thing to do. It's actually exciting that we're getting so many people to want to participate and do something so great.
Yes. And we are going to have one heck of a year. And as people have been seeing, our green screen room is, we had a show in there the last week. We are going to be filming in there as we are going to be continuing our Alchemy series. We will be doing our live shows, hopefully in 2 weeks from now, starting direct from the green screen room. We've got some really, really cool effects that we're going to be sharing with people. So some of the techniques that we have in the green screen room help people to understand the multidimensional self. The reason I chose this background today is it has two screens. So I want you to imagine, you know, Debbie right here, me right here, and another version of me right here. And now that version of me right here is going to be pre-recorded, and it's going to be mumble, 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 a whole bunch of really cool words, mumble, mumble, as I talk back and forth between myself and Debbie talks to us. And that's an example of self-conversations. Another scenario is where you have another version of me that's recorded in a different space and time, showing what empathy between dimensions is. Or you could have a person here and you have a foreground version of me, and that foreground version of me may have 7, 8, or 9 people in front of it. And all of those people will be interlinked into this multidimensional conversation that we're going to be able to show with the green screen room. The news stations, they do some really, really fun things with their green screen rooms. But now we're applying it to multidimensional living and going to be able to show people through this green screen, through the picture-in-picture, through the pre-record, how you can see an example of multidimensional living.
That's exciting. I'm really looking forward to seeing that myself, Andrew.
Well, me too. You know, I have been thinking long and hard what type of technology is going to take us to the next level. You know, we've done Galactic History 1, and when I decided that I wanted to do Galactic History 2, I knew I needed the pictures. For all those people that have seen the Galactic History series, I described some intense subjects when it comes to time, space, galactic ascension machine, and those need images to attach to the words.
Right. It's going to be quite something. I'm looking forward to it.
What we would like is for anyone that would like to feature some of your artwork for our green screen room, anything that is a panoramic picture, if you go into the League of Consciousness Explorers and you go into the boards over there, you will see a thread for sharing of panoramic pictures. So we are going to be looking for, you know, as many people that want to share their images, whether it's a picture of a mountain or a sacred place that you visited, as long as it's a panoramic picture, it can be inserted into the background of our green screen room. So please share with us your pictures. And if you're not a part of the League of Consciousness Explorers, you can send a message to the Galactic Asaurian support team, and then we can get an attachment picture from you there also. So we want to thank everybody that's going to be a part of the green screen room shows, as well as the people that have decided they really, 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 really want to do this remote viewing thing. So I'm going to offer a second thing. So this coming Friday, you have a chance to remote view what an envelope is. In 2 or so weeks from now, we're not exactly sure. We're the first green screen room show that I will have an envelope for. So in an undisclosed date, in an undisclosed time, there will be a live show in which I'm going to hold up an envelope for the very first green screen broadcast room. Who wants to reach out this far away to figure out what's going to be in that envelope?
Well, it'll be surprising to see how many people do, Andrew. I think that's wonderful.
I ask you to take up the challenge, a few minutes of your time, clearing your thoughts, and really think, Okay. What could we put in an envelope that can help people see a few weeks from now in an undisclosed place, in an undisclosed time, that there'll be a live show? We're going to have some special, special things.
So, Andrew, are you going to announce any of the winners?
We are going to contact all the winners privately. And then the winners will be on the show live with us, because we're going to have them all on one show where they're going to drive the conversation, where they are going to be you. They are going to be the ones asking and driving the questions. That's the kind of rewards we're giving people that are beginning to practice these skills and beginning to just do it on their own with the heart smile.
Well, I think that's a great incentive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Andrew, I just wanted to put something to you, because it's something that I've been going through, my family have been going through, people we know have been going through and experiencing just recently, probably for the last several weeks, or maybe even longer with a lot more other stuff going on. But just yesterday, the babysitter of my daughters was coming back from Bellevue, and she got held up. There was a major accident there. The car flipped over. My husband went out last night. There was two accidents on the road, one going to where he was going to and another one when he was coming back. And I'm just thinking, there just seems to be so much chaos and accidents happening lately, that I'm just wondering if there's something that we aren't seeing, or is there something going on in the matrix that we need to know about?
Yes, there is a lot of things going on. And let me use the metaphor of the Pied Piper. So the Pied Piper gets invited to a town to use his magic flute to lure all the mice and rats away from a town. And when he doesn't get paid, he leads the mice back into the city. In a metaphor, these people that are going through these heavy, heavy, dense, dramatic times, the Pied Piper's musical image, musical stuff that's coming through, is the metaphorical way of describing the system of domination and control attracting you to the similar density beings as you, so that you can have retribution from karma, or relief from karma, or karmic debt being given to you. It's the mechanics of the system. And the system is at a point where it was audited in March 2013, and it has an end date where it must have all of its karma paid off. Essentially, what you do is have a bunch of spiritual companies spread all over the world that have been cooking their books for billions of years, and now it's time to come and pay the Pied Piper, which is the universal source acting in communion and union with Earth Mind over many millions of years, to create a final equation where karma can no longer be used as a debt exchange soul commerce system. So what is happening now is the debt collectors are coming to call, literally.
So is it coming in that form of the chaos, or?
Yeah, it's coming in that form. It is going to force people to be awake or asleep.
Right.
Take your karmic lunks and go back to sleep and say, thank you, system, may I have another? Okay? Or you go, no, system, you cannot do that to me. I am a sovereign, free-willed individual being, separate of your dirty energy underwear, who no longer uses karmic debt as an exchange for spiritual karma.
Right, so would that be good to use the revocations on our karmic debt and release?
In general, any kind of contract revocation, it isn't even if they're mine, any of them at all, declaring mm-hmm. the I am present statements now is one of the most advantageous things for you, because it means that you're not easy pickings. There are tens of millions of entities spread around the world that have a list. Get the most amount of energy you can without having to invest a lot of energy. So there's not long-term plans. They're hitting up all the short-term, easy-feed people that don't protect themselves, that don't do spiritual sovereignty, that don't practice spiritual cleanliness, and simply allow their energy environment to have anything in it at any moment in time. Those are the ones that are getting hit. the ones that forget, you know, every 5, 6, 7 days, did you take time for yourself? Did you maybe just turn the television off and just be at peace with yourself? Have you asked yourself the self-calculating questions every month? You know, have I been a good person? Can I accept love from other people? Am I able to love other people? Where you do some of those checks each month to make sure that you're not getting callous. And for those people out there that are healers, you know, after a while you can get callous to the mystical experience of healing others.
That's a really interesting thing to think of too, Andrew, because, you know, there's so many people in that healing industry, but they don't take time out for themselves. They're so busy healing everybody else.
That's right. They've taken on the karmic debt of being the healer.
Mm.
Okay? Right. Think of what it was like when you decided you went and took cranial sacral therapy.
Yeah, well, you know, I basically did that. I wanted to do that basically for my family because there were so many physical problems going on within, you know, my grandchildren, my daughters. So I thought, you know, there's something else I can do besides just regression work, if I can do some actual healing work as well. And I have done other types of healing energy work, and but to have the understanding with the cranial sacral, it's just another a great tool to have, just like you have with Reiki.
Yeah, and it's so powerful to use with children that are growing cranial sacral therapy. There are so many autistic children that could be benefited greatly and their quality of lives increased many-fold by regular cranial sacral treatments.
I know a friend of mine who has been doing cranial sacral for many, many years, and she's had people bring their babies to her because of the compression on the brain that has really slowed down their growth. And she just said she's seen it totally unravel in front of her eyes. And the families are just amazed by the growth and the brain activity increases just from the cranial sacral.
Like you pop a cork and all of a sudden they start to grow.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it myself dozens of times when I was doing some very intense Reiki treatments with very young babies that had vaccination poisoning, as well as some in the 5, 6, 7 year old. And literally it's like a cork that's popped when the cranial sacral therapist connects to the spine and the tailbone, and you have somebody working with the feet, literally it's like their body can grow in front of you.
Now that happened to my grandson, actually. He just seemed to be really short, and everybody, he used to be a bit of the brunt of the jokes for all his buddies at school. And I actually took him to a really good chiropractor that stretched him, you know, beside the cranial sacral. He needed something else. And the chiropractor told him that his bones were really compressed. And he did this just one release by pulling his neck really, you know, just gave this big jerk. His whole spine just went pop, 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 pop. And he grew about 2.5 inches through summer. He couldn't believe it.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That tells you something.
It does.
When I was young, I must have been 12, maybe 13, my uncle, who had been taking an advanced traditional Chinese medicine class, acupuncture, acupressure, and had been learning some chiropractic, he had come home to Cleveland, so he was there for Christmas, and he was just showing off all of his techniques, and he went to go do a back reset on me, and I'm just, like I said, a small kid at that point. And he put me in this position like a full Nelson and pulled my back up, and from my tailbone to the back of my neck went, and he stopped and he went, "Oh my God, are you paralyzed?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, I totally could feel." And he literally said, "I swear to God, every single bone in your spine cracked."
Yeah, exactly, with my grandson, exactly the same thing. And he probably, who knows how long he had that, you know?
Probably since birth in some scenarios. That's birth trauma. You know, when people assume a position and always talk from it, some of that is residual image from other lifetimes. Very difficult. And the only way they can come through this lifetime is in the residual posture that imitates depression, regression, obsession, deep intellectual thought, deep consciousness, exploration, so on and so forth, because the body remembers these positions in which we can have these mystical experiences that are connected to our parasympathetic body.
I've actually seen that when I've been doing regression work with people, I've actually seen physical changes. Some of them have come in with massive headaches as well, and they can't believe how that goes. But sometimes when I'm taking people through a regression, they'll get a pain in their side or a pain in their chest, and it relates to, as it's unraveled, it relates to something that they were experiencing in that lifetime, either being crushed through, you know, some scenario that goes on. But after it, their whole body has changed in the way that they hold themselves. They said they can breathe easier. It's really interesting when they let these thoughts and come out of their cells and release.
Mm-hmm. When you let the energy out of the cells, you're allowing the sympathetic and parasympathetic body to go let down and to not be on warning for spiritual energy or physical energy being coming in or taking out. Our sympathetic body is our empathetic side that is connected to our physical body and our spirit's needs and ideas, which are connected to the soul. The soul and spirit are two different things. The soul is the spark fuel that comes in. And yes, your spark fuel can be drawn out. And you need, after a while, more energy for your soul. That's how the spark of the spirit comes in, which is the infinite connection, which refills the coffers that are the physical body. You know, like some of the meridians are called well points, because that is where chi generates in a big infinite well of energy for us to draw upon at any point in time, like the gallbladder and stomach meridians that are in the legs. You know, those connect the stomach meridian to literally the food of abundance and the fields of plenty that are available to everyone. There's food, you know, within 15 feet of me outside of this window. Food I may not call, you know, top-notch food. It's food off the trees. But at one point in our history, that was the food. And our parasympathetic bodies are still DNA-tuned to the food 6 miles from us. And we need not actually pick it. We can absorb that energy from miles away if we really choose to, because we are that much of a multidimensional being when we choose to follow through with our belief system and not be zealous with it.
I've even noticed that just the fragrance from some of those trees or flowers or plants have a healing aspect, and that's probably why the essential oils are so powerful.
Absolutely. When you take an essential oil from something, you're taking its essence, distilled spirit essence that it has volunteered for this purpose. A tree wouldn't produce an essence like that if it wasn't offering it of service to everyone. And that's the wonderful thing about the trees out there. So many of the trees in our world are not indigenous here. But one of the great ancient indigenous trees to our world is the sequoia tree. You know, some of the oldest sequoias here on the in the world were 3,000 years old. They could tell that in the ancient mapping of the old growth forests. And the General Sherman Oak, which just fell down in the Sequoia National Forest, was, I believe, 1,800 years old before it came down, and like 600 feet tall.
That's amazing. I know that down in the Maya land area, the sequoia tree is actually classed as a holy tree.
Yep, like the cactus, like the king cactus. They are some of the most powerful, dense, ancient spirits that have chose to come here for a very, very long, extended time of life. Just a second, my phone is ringing. It should never be ringing.
Sorry about that.
That's okay, Andrew. I do have a question for you, though. I was just wondering, do the trees have a soul? Your sound is cut out.
All right, here we go. Yes, they do have souls. They do have spark. They do have spirit. They do have a life like us. They do have a consciousness like us. But their consciousness is not centered in a brain. It's not centered in a chakra system or a heart or a birthing system. They come from seed, and their seed has their entire gene stock of all of the memories of all of the other trees who have been trees, not just here, but on any other world where those seeds were shared. So they come in as a hive mind. So if one tree lets go of 10,000 seeds, and all 10,000 of those seeds end up on a different planet, each seed becomes its own psychic network of anything that it reproduces seeds from in any generation. When, let's say, those trees that were spread to the 10,000 worlds were to come together, a whole new generation of sentience would be created, and a new migration pattern of souls would be in those trees. So it is like a long-standing lighthouse marker stone into the big process of, how do I describe it, having life.
Right, it just reminds me a bit of the Avatar, the movie, where they were showing the mother tree there was connected to all the other trees as like a consciousness that was spread right through the forest.
Very much. That movie, Avatar, has lots of disclosure behind it, a tremendous amount of disclosure.
Right. I'm also wondering, you know, we're talking about trees.